Turn, if you would please, to the book of Mark, chapter 4. I want to read a very, very well-known portion of Scripture and preach as I might for a few minutes out of it. Mark chapter 4, verse 34. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. How would you like to have been in that seminar? Amen. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat unto the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind, and saith unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for so many occasions in the lives of Jesus and the disciples that gives us hope. Oh, how we're thankful for that hope indeed, Father. And as we come before Thee this morning, we pray that Thou shalt anoint this lesson and help us, Lord, to preach it as You would have us preach it. And it'll help all of our minds to think of the things out of it, Lord, that You would give us individually today in the midst of the storm. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. I believe today that we are in a storm. I think we ought to pray more than we've ever prayed before in the history of Christianity. Our nation is in the storm. If there ever was a time when we need to pray for the leaders of our nation, and especially our president, if there is ever was anybody that ought to pray for President Obama, it ought to be you and me, and especially Cuba. And I call him President Obama. He is our president. The people of the United States voted him as our president. God has put him in there. Like it or lump it, God has put him in there. He doesn't do everything I want him to do, but neither did George Bush, by the way. We ought to pray for him more than we have ever prayed for any president. That God would help him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he would come to this church and get saved? You know, God does that kind of thing once in a while. You know that? You look at the Bible and go through the Bible and see the miraculous salvation experience of men in the Bible from top to bottom. God can save any man. Save any man, no matter who it is. We ought to pray. We're in a mess in the world today. There is a way that our world is turning toward Sodom and Gomorrah. And the violence is everywhere, and the wickedness is everywhere. The storm is all around us. The storm is getting worse as we go along. In our hearts we cry, Lord Jesus, come now. But if the Lord doesn't come, I believe the storm is going to get worse. But we can have peace in the midst of the storm. And I want to talk to you today about peace, and about that peace that Jesus gives. Really, the title of my sermon is, What Brings Peace? What brings peace? Well, here you see this story that these disciples and Jesus, and it says other little ships. I'm sure that there was a lot of those ships in the sea at that moment. But this one particular ship had in it the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were in the midst of a storm. Well, the storm all around them. The deep bass voice of the thunder was sounding like the battleground of many wars as it rolled across horizon to horizon, hill to hill. The lightning flashing across the sky, splitting the darkness of the clouds, seemed to be a threat to everyone in that boat. And then the wind. Oh, the wind. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat at sea or not in a storm. But it's a very fearful thing. I left the coast one time of Brazil in a sailboat. A large sailboat. And we got out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and started out across, and these great big swells rolling up in the front of our ship. It looked like a mountain. It looked like the Blue Ridge Mountains to me, rolling in that ocean. And that bow of that sailboat would hit that big swell and just disappear in the salty water of the sea. And I'm telling you that my heart would almost stop. And we would come up on the other side of the swell and ride it across the top. The wind was blowing. And bits of the sea was spattering upon my face, the salty ocean, as that wind was blowing. I'll never forget the fear of those moments. Out there in the middle of that storm at sea in a sailboat in Brazil, I couldn't speak a word to anybody on board ship. But I'll tell you, I wish that I had learned Portuguese a long time before. I don't know if you've ever been in the midst of a terrible storm. I remember when I was a boy, Daddy would say, "The black clouds are coming, sons. You better get under the wagon, because I think it's going to storm. I think we're going to get rain." I remember getting under that wagon and holding on to the earth, and that dirt blowing all around me when that wind would come, and that old wagon trembling atop of me. Me hanging on to the earth, I thought the storm was going to blow me away into the next county. I remember the storms at home when I was a boy, and Mom would say, "I'll get the girls, son. You get the cellar door." And I'd run out and grab that old cellar door and hold it up, and the wind would be blowing it, and I'd hold it until Mom and the girls got down in the cellar. I never did like that cellar. It was dark, and there was spiders down there and spider webs, but we ran down in that spider web cellar whenever the storm came because we were afraid of the storm. Here they are at sea in the storm and the little boat. I have seen pictures of them little boats, and they weren't very big, not even as long as from here to the door. And they had one little mast up and a sail, with cross members holding the sail up. And I would imagine it was like the ones I saw that was like a quilt, patch upon patch, because they didn't have very much material or hardly any money to get a new sail. And as the wind was blowing, I'm sure that sail was stretching at every seam. I'm sure the mast of that boat was creaking and almost breaking out there in that storm. It was a rowboat when there was no wind, and they could row, but they weren't rowing in this storm. They were dipping water because the boat was being filled with the water of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is a very shallow little lake, more than a sea. Like our Lake Erie in Ohio, it's very shallow. And so when the storms come up, very quickly it gets to be very treacherous, with the white capping waves. And they were out there in the middle of that storm. Out there in the middle of that storm. But Jesus was in the boat. What brings peace? Well, it's the calmness of His presence. That's my first point. The calmness of His presence. Jesus says in John 14, "My peace I leave with thee." Matthew 28, verse 20, "Lo, I am with you always." That was something special about the man in that boat. It was Jesus in the boat. What a wonderful thing it is to know that His presence is all around us. So oftentimes, I've been in the midst of fear, but I've clutched a Bible up to my heart and knew that Jesus was with me there, that I didn't have to walk alone. I didn't have to sleep in the dark by myself. But Jesus was there. And He was at my side. Wow. The calmness of His presence. The Bible says that when He spoke, the Bible says, a great calm in verse 39, a great calm came over the water. He spake the words that broke up the dark clouds and silenced the base thunder. He spake the words that destroyed the lightning across the sky. He said the words that calmed the wind and rolled out the waves like a woman does with an iron on a piece of cloth. He ironed out the waves. He was there. Oh, the calmness of His presence in the midst of the storm. Let me tell you that He's with us here. He's always been with us here. And His presence is something we all desire, is it not? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. He was with them there, and the calmness of His presence was all around that little boat. What brings peace? The calmness of His presence in your heart and in my heart. What brings peace? Well, it was the command of His Word. He stood up and His words rebuked the storm, rebuked the wind. His Word is always sufficient, by the way. You look at the previous verses of this chapter, you find that He was lecturing the disciples on the Word of God. He was talking to them in verse 31, the grain of mustard seed. You see that? And in verse 14, the sower sowed the word. And in verse 3, the sower went out to sow. It was the word that the sower in his parables, as the Bible says, he spake to them in parables here in verse 34. The sower was sowing the seed, and the parable was that the seed was the Word of God. Oh, that presence of this powerful Word. You know, I know today what I know because of the Word of God. I hear preachers sometimes get up with their chest out and their neck out, saying, "Boy, I was there when it happened, and I got saved, and I know that I got saved." You know, there is a lot of contrast in a lot of people's lives when they were saved from wicked lives and sin to what they are today. But you know, some of us were raised in a Christian atmosphere, and we don't have quite the contrast that others have. Thank God for the change that came into my life and the answer that came into my soul when I saved. But let me tell you, I know I'm saved today, not because of what I do differently than what I did before I was saved, but I know I'm saved today because the Bible says so. The Bible says, the Word of God says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible says that. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, "Any man that will hear my voice, I will sup with him and he with me." The Bible says that. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you are the Son of God." Hey, listen. We know that we're saved because of these things that God has written to us. It's the Word of God. It's the Bible that sets the sail, not the gale, that determines the way we believe and go. The Word of God was there. Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, was present there with them in that boat. I'll tell you, if you get to the place where you're in the midst of a storm, you open this old book up. And you'll find that in this old book, there's the peace that comes along with knowing and serving Jesus. It's the Bible, the Word of God. That's what gives us peace. We're living in a war-torn world. Somebody said there are 40 wars going on right now. You know, in America, we don't get the news, you know. You listen to television or watch television, you listen to the radio, you're not going to get the news. You got to really search it out. I go on the internet and I look at the Voice of Russia. And I go to the Voice of Germany, and I look at the Voice of America, and I work around, and I maybe some of England's news. I work around and I finally get the news. You know, we don't know anything. There's a war going on in Africa right now where they say that there have been 4 million people killed. Can you imagine that? We don't even know. I would imagine if we'd poll around here today, you probably wouldn't even know where the place was where the war is going on. It's the Congo. And people are dying over there all the time. We hear the news. We don't, you know, the news is not favorable to us Christians. It's bad and it's rough. We live in a world full of difficulties and storms. And then in our lives, there are many storms. You may be going through a storm right now. It could be a storm of temptation. Maybe the devil is attacking you with temptations, trying to draw you away from God and the truth and the goodness of God and His work. Maybe it is a temptation of some little evil habit you've got in your life that you know that you need to stop and get rid of. But it seems like that every time you try to overcome it, it beats you down into the dust. It may be opposition, it may be persecution. There's a lot of abused people in this world today, a lot of abused Christians, a lot of abused little children. I'll tell you, to my opinion, and I'm sure I'm not the greatest to give it, but to my own personal opinion, I'm preaching, that's why I can do it. But to my opinion, the worst crime in this whole world is to abuse a child. I think that's the worst thing in the world. There may be some people here that was abused child when you were a child, and you've gone through hell ever since with the memories of those terrible things that happened to you. You'll never get over them as long as you live, an abused child. You may be going through abuse. There's a lot of abused mothers. There's a lot of abused wives today. There's a lot of abuse. You may be going through the storm of abuse. God help us to lift one another up instead of abusing anyone. Amen? Think about an abuser. What kind of a mind and heart does he have or she have? You may be going through abuse, and that storm in your life may be abuse. You may be going through some kind of a problem of doubt. Boy, how the devil loves to bring doubt to the child of God. We have to always, quite often, we have to go to the Bible to fortify ourselves against doubt. Amen? It may be doubt. It may be depression. There's a lot of depression today all over the world. And I'll tell you what, all the chemical things that they have to try to overcome depression, they say it's a chemical imbalance. And some of the other things that people are suffering with, all of that medicine they've got cannot overcome oppression. I mean the depression. But this Bible can. This Bible can overcome depression. Why? Because the Bible is the Word of God. And you want to cheer your soul? Cheer it up with the Word. You may be going through some kind of a storm right now. God, in His greatness, wants to give you a calm, a peace. Oh, I need peace. Don't you? Peace like a river. Amen. That flows in my soul. When I think I'm going under, Lord, part the waters. When I feel the waves around me, calm the sea. When I cry for help, oh, hear me, Lord, and hold out your hand and touch me, Lord, and still the raging storm in me. A song that I've heard some people say. Now, you may be going through a storm right now. Yeah, it may be insecurity. I mean, I've been in some storms in my life. 58 years of preaching, it seems like that every year gets a little bit more stormy as we go along. Paul went through a storm. You remember in 2 Timothy, he named those guys that had opposed him. Alexander, coppersmith. All the men of Asia have turned against me. Demas has forsaken me. Peter went through some terrible storms. He was in prison. He was locked up. He was going to get his head lobbed off like John the Baptist. They had a sharpened sword. They had a bloody stump that had already been used, waiting for him in Acts chapter 12. John on the Isle of Patmos was exiled out there on that desert island. Probably no shade from the sun. And they had to bring his food by boat to him. And that wasn't very often. But all these men, they had a consolation of the protection of God. That's my third point. What brings peace is this consolation of His protection. Jesus has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He saith in verse number 5 of Hebrews chapter 13, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16, Christ hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. No, we have a consolation in Jesus Christ. Paul had that. Paul said in 2 Timothy, Demas hath forsaken me, but I've got Luke. Luke hasn't run off. Alexander the coppersmith has done me much evil, but the Lord stood with me. Oh, what a wonderful peace we have, knowing that we have this consolation of His protection. Wow. What a joy it is to know that. Have you ever been in a sea in a storm? Years ago, we were starting a church in Watertown, New York. And there was a man there that was coming to our meetings that had a special place on Lake Ontario. We went out there one day, a whole team went out there to swim. The girls went one way and the boys went another. And I took my kids and I went straight out from where we're camping and we were swimming, not knowing much about the water like that. And I'm telling you, I don't like the sea and I don't like water like that. I don't know about you, but I don't. If I'm going to swim, I like swim in a bathtub. Amen? But we were out there and I was hitting the kids out there and all of a sudden there was a break in the water and we got into a riptide. What happens, the waves roll in and the waves roll in and they bring sand with it. And they actually build under the water a little dam of sand and hold back a lot of the water, and all of a sudden it will break. And that water coming out of that little dam, if you're in it, you're in a riptide and you're in danger. Now, I didn't know it. They say if you get in a riptide, swim with the shore and you'll get out of it. But we didn't know that. Our boys, both of our boys were good swimmers, but I had Lori and she was a little girl. I was out there in the middle of that riptide, trying to keep her up above water. I said, "Boys, swim to the shore. Go on." He said, Steve said, "Dad, I've got to help you with Lori." I said, "No, go to the shore." And I was battling, and I tell you, I was crying out to the Lord to help me. Because I was going out, and the waves were so high, I couldn't hold on to her and stay above the water. And I cried out to the Lord. You know, out there in the middle of that big body of water, my foot hit the top of a rock that big around. And I was able to stabilize myself on that rock. It was down almost below my head, but the rock was there, and it stabilized me. And the riptide kept coming and coming, and finally it stopped. And then the water was calm, and I could take my Bethy and swim to shore. Oh, I don't know if you've ever been in a riptide. A riptide of problems and heartaches and trials. Let me tell you that Jesus can find the anchor for your foot in the midst of a riptide. Jesus can take care of all the problems. Jesus is there. He'll take care of you. How oftentimes I've just clung to the wonderful promise of His protection. Wherever you go, I'll go with you. You won't have to walk the dark streets of an Arab city alone. I'll go with you there. You won't have to travel up and down the Amazon by yourself. I'll go with you there. You don't have to walk alone on the mountain peaks. Jesus is on the top of the mountain. And He's down in the valley. He's everywhere. And you know what? We're children of God. The Bible calls us dear children. We're not just children. Thank God for that word dear in there. We're dear children. We belong to Him. And He's going to take care of His kids. I thank God that He's with me. Are you going through a storm? Though the storm is all around me, stand by me. Though I go through the terrible storm, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, Thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. The Lord will stand by you. He'll lift you up. He's our anchor. The anchor was in the boat, but that's all they needed. Jesus was the anchor. He is in the boat. All you have to do is trust Him. Trust His Word. He had already said, we're going to go on the other side. Why would they doubt that they were going to go on the other side if God said they were going on the other side? Let me tell you, God has said He'll make a way for you and guide you and help you and lift you up. He'll give you miracles. God's got miracles for each one of us. Because we're His children, believe and cling to that miracle. Reach out to Him and you'll find that He's very, very near. Are you going through a storm today? Jesus is in the boat. Let's bow our heads in prayer.